Welcome to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program. The guest this week, smart, smooth, and sophisticated, it's Tez Ilias. And welcome to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program with me, Ollie Bettesworth. This week, my guest is high-rising, up-and-coming comedian Tez Ilias, and I'm very glad to have him on the show. But the structure this week is a little bit different in the fact that rather than doing loves and hates and anything like that, we just kind of had a chat about a couple of topics suggested by Tez, and one of them actually led to a very interesting conversation about the fact that a while ago, Tez and I had a couple of stupid little spats on Facebook along the tedious lines of atheism versus Islam. Tez is a Muslim, and I was arguably, at least for a time, one of those overzealous internet atheists that so many people have grown to despise. We both chilled out a little bit now, but it was interesting to have a bit of a post-mortem on that and talk a little bit about the issues surrounding the ways in which these debates are conducted online. I have to keep it brief in the intro because the interview ran a little bit longer than usual. So I hope you enjoy episode 7 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme, in which Tez Ilias came round to discuss the World Cup, Richard Dawkins and Finnish etiquette. Enjoy. What's the first subject that you've got down here?
Football.
What about it?
Because we're currently, as we're recording this, a quarter of the way through the World Cup.
Well, we're pretty much all the way through the World Cup as far as our country goes.
Yeah, I mean,
so England, I think we should probably all just stop talking about it now, right?
England are already out of the World Cup. That is
2 games in.
Astonishing achievement. An achievement that hasn't been made since 1958.
Is that true?
Yeah, really? That is a proper fact.
That is our worst performance in just over 50 years.
Apart from the years we didn't qualify.
You see that maths that happened?
So there were some years we didn't qualify, which was technically a worse performance than being there and being shit.
Hmm.
But when we've qualified and reached the tournament, this is our worst performance for them that many years that you said.
Yeah, and are you upset?
I wasn't at the time, but I'm increasingly more upset now because, like, why have Costa Rica done so well? I mean, we're a football team full of talented individuals who do astonishing things for their club teams on a semi-regular basis and then lull us into this false sense of security that they will carry that form into their international game. And then they don't.
Why don't they? Do they get paid less?
I don't think it is about that. I think people talk about passion and all of this stuff that really doesn't. I don't think the Spanish care about how. I don't think the Spanish team or the German team talk about their teams in terms of, well, he's an honest professional. Well, you know, he's a giver. He's got passion. I don't think that's the way they describe their good footballers. I think they probably describe them more in terms of their skill set and something that's more relevant to being a footballer. Rather than
sportsmanship,
we need someone who's got passion.
Right.
It's like what's that relevant to how good you can kick a ball? Like I could be quite passionate about football, but it doesn't make me a good player.
I'm passionate about lovemaking, but I have been told I am dreadful.
Exactly. I mean, if that was all it took, you'd be writing a sequel to Kama Sutra.
I sure would.
But you're not.
No. Okay. I can confirm that. I know everyone's waiting for it, but I abandoned the project.
Official scoop.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot we can learn about football from some of our European cousins. Germany, for example, have a very exciting team at the moment. A team that is playing some of the best football you've ever seen on the international stage, which is something 12 years ago would have been unheard of.
Mm.
But in 2000 and 2004, they had very, very bad campaigns in the European Championships, and they decided as a country to do something about that and address the shortage of skill set in their footballers, and they revolutionised the grassroots game.
Maybe we've got better things to do as a country.
But there's people whose job it is, who get paid very well to revolutionize the game and to make us a good football team.
Mm.
So it's their job. I'm not saying it's your job. You've certainly got better things to do.
Thank God for that.
And it's not my job.
I don't. I mean,
okay, well,
if someone asked me to revolutionize
to do it, okay,
the football team, it would trump anything I was doing.
You could give it a go.
No, I could. I would be terrible. But
you give it a go.
It would be better than anything
you've got going on.
Well, I was watching Scrubs, so I'm not going to say I can't manage the English football team. You know, I'm making a macchiato in my kitchen and I'm getting it just right.
It's not even about managing the current English team. It's about revolutionising our entire setup from grassroots upwards. Something which the Germans have done, something which the Spanish did, something which the Belgians have done.
Mm.
And it's so a blueprint exists across Europe for how to produce world-class coaches and world-class young players.
But isn't that just basically the case throughout Europe? They have a blueprint for how to do things, and if we followed it, it would be better, but we don't, because we're England, and we think we've got it all sorted, and that we're the ones who have got it all sussed.
And we invented
Actually, what we need to do is realise that we're just a piddling little one of those nothing countries, and to stop being so arrogant. The worst, like, we had the world stage at one point, but obviously now we need to just realise that, yeah, we have this special relationship with America, but really, we're kind of insignificant and quirky, and we need to embrace the fact that we're one of these rubbish countries that gets everything wrong, and start looking towards others and just copying them.
Yeah, I think we need to have an inward reflection and think: what are we actually good at, and what do we want to be good at? And those things that we want to be good at, we say, like, right, who's good at those things that we want to be good at? Let's learn from them.
Have you been to Europe?
Yeah.
Like, you just walk around and everything's better. Like, the food's better, everything runs.
Public transport is fucking awesome in Switzerland.
People are usually a bit rude, but, you know, it's right.
But I feel like there's some people in this country who want to be rude, so why not learn from the best?
Yeah.
Like if you want to be racist, go to Europe and learn from the best.
Mm. They got proper racists.
Like, every aspect of our life, we could probably be better at by learning from the... Like, if you want to be really overly polite, go to Finland.
Really?
And learn from those guys. I just thrown that out there.
Oh, okay.
Did it with enough confidence that it might be true, though?
Yeah, but I questioned it, so now it's all come tumbling down.
Okay. But, yeah.
You should know me better than that.
I think Finland are polite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our problem is the minimum wage. That's what's fucked us up.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain.
Because if we didn't have the minimum wage, which I support, by the way, then we'd also be able to exploit workers like they do in those parts of the world and be able to produce cheap shit and then export it.
Mm.
Whereas we've got standards.
I mean, look at the
treat people.
Opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympics. What can be done when you don't have any human rights?
We didn't have 25 million Chinese people to just throw it at it.
To basically just feed into a big threshing machine.
That's the thing. I mean, actually, our opening ceremony somehow managed to be quite good, but actually, if we just utilise our Chinese population, it might be even better.
Yeah.
Because we do have a significant Chinese population in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out there, just volunteer yourselves more.
So, football, yes.
Yeah, I do love the World Cup, though.
Why is it, though, that so many people seem so ready to take such vicarious joy and sense of achievement in the actions of a bunch of overpaid strangers?
I don't know.
What is the dynamic there?
Because I don't know, because we were having this conversation earlier, weren't we, about the passion that people have for stuff that's not really that important. I think we were talking about pop stars and how young girls get hysterical when they see them on stage. And I was saying, well, you know, yes, the other night when England equalised against Uruguay, like, the joy on my face made Kate Lucas laugh out loud because she'd never seen me that happy, I think.
Mm.
I'm like, why?
I can say that I'm the exception to this. I don't find I get enthusiastic about anything.
Okay.
And so I kind of have integrity, really.
Yeah.
Whereas you guys, what do you...
Because I'm there going, X Factor, that's bullshit. Why does that matter? Why are you getting excited about The Voice, guys? Mm. And then I'm there fucking cheering some men on that I've never met in my life.
Yeah, and I think... Do you think if you met the England team that you would get on with them as people?
I think I'd get on with some of them. I think I'd get on with Daniel Sturridge. He looks like a laugh. laugh. Sorry.
What is it about Daniel Sturridge that you
He's got rhythm, and as a person of color who also has rhythm, I think that's something we could bond over.
Are you a good dancer, Terzilius?
Yeah.
You often go dancing.
Yeah, I don't go.
You hit the clubs.
Not as much as I used to.
Hit the dance halls.
When I was younger, you know, in my heyday, I was known to, you know, pop on lock with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the best of them, but with the best of the amateur lot.
So you'd imagine you and Daniel Sturridge
hitting up the clubs
down Inferno's on Clapham High Street.
Yeah,
popping and locking,
finding a little corner where we could just pop and lock away.
I put it to you, Terzilius, that Daniel Sturridge would never hang out with you.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, who are you? He's Daniel Sturridge. I mean, I've never heard of him, but, you know.
I don't know, we could have met. Like, we could meet through, like, a mutual friend.
Which mutual friend?
I mean, another one of the footballers.
Which footballer do you know?
Sterling. I don't know them, but I'm saying, like...
No, you don't know them.
I'm saying...
In what world are you going to be hanging out?
You know that 6 degrees of separation thing?
Yeah.
If I worked my way up towards Daniel Sturridge...
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so I know... let's have a look. I know Christine Taylor in Liverpool.
Okay.
Because I used to work with her.
Have you just made up Christine Taylor?
No, Christine Taylor's a real person. Not like my Finnish polite commentary. That was a made-up fact. Mm-hmm. But this is a real person. I used to work in Liverpool. So I know Christine Taylor in Liverpool. Christine Taylor's dad has a season ticket at Liverpool Football Club. That might be a fact I've made up, but I'm going to go with it. Christine Taylor's dad is very good friends with another season ticket holder who knows the chairman of the supporters group in Liverpool. Will.
I don't believe any of these things.
So, Will, who is the chairman of the supporters group of Liverpool...
I put it to you, Tessie.
He knows Steven Gerrard really well because Steven Gerrard has
played
for Liverpool all his life, and he has a really good relationship with the chair of the Liverpool supporters group. And he's friends with Daniel Sturridge. That's the 6 degrees of separation that I've just absolutely nailed.
I put it to you that if this 6 degrees of separation scenario in which you've placed yourself and Daniel Sturridge were actually accurate, you would have pursued it already.
No, but yes, but I've never been challenged in this way before. So now the challenge is to get a selfie with Daniel Sturridge by...
Next week.
No, that's too soon. Like, I've got work, mate.
You've got a degree of separation.
Yeah, but I've got to go to Liverpool first, haven't I? I've got to reenact my relationship with Christine Taylor and be like, hey, and she'd be like, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to do
Daniel
that.
Sturridge as
I've
well.
I've got to do that more smoothly than that.
Oh, okay.
Ask her how she is and stuff.
Mm.
And then I've got to work my way up past her dad and the other friend he knows is a Liverpool season ticket holder who knows the chairman. I mean, this is not a week's worth of work.
It's a lot of work just to be told to get lost at the end of it.
I mean, I've got to probably book myself some gigs in Liverpool first to give him an excuse to get up there. So if you're listening to this and you book gigs in Liverpool or the surrounding Merseyside area... and you support my campaign to get a selfie with Daniel Sturridge, I would suggest you start booking me up now.
Okay, you've done your 6 degrees of separation. I'm Daniel Sturridge.
Hi.
You've just come in.
Right.
And you're finally about to meet me.
Right.
And you have to explain who you are and what you want from me.
Okay. Right, so you should just do it.
Yeah.
Now? So where are we?
Like, just at my in my office. I've got an office.
All
footballers have offices.
Oh, sorry. So you know more about it than I do.
I'm sat at my desk in my office.
Okay.
A footballer's office.
So I'm assuming you've
invited... Pictures of footballers on the walls.
I'm assuming you've invited me in.
My telephone, get this, it's in the shape of a little football.
Brilliant.
Because I'm a footballer, you see.
Brilliant.
Daniel Sturridge likes knickknacks like that, I've decided. For
What's the ringtone on the telephone?
Match of the day.
Of course.
Never gets old. I do a little...
Why have I come in? Because it's his office, I'm assuming I've been invited.
Because you've gone, no, you haven't been invited. Why on earth would you be invited to my office? You have followed your 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, so I've got Steven Gerrard.
so Stephen far. Gerrard
so
is...
I've come in with Stephen Gerrard.
No,
why have I not come in with Stephen Gerrard?
Because Stephen Gerrard's got better things to do
but
than
I've followed the 6 degrees of separation. Oh, so Stephen Gerrard tells me where the office is.
Yeah, no, you've turned up at the office.
Okay, so now I've turned up at the office. And I've gone...
Come in.
Hey, Daniel.
Hi, yes, I'm Daniel Sturridge.
Hi, mate. I know who you are.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Tez Ilyas, semi-professional...
I've never heard of you.
Semi-professional comedian, seventh most famous person from Blackburn.
Is that some sort of joke?
No.
Why are you here?
Daniel, because I...
Is Tez short for Terry?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'll call you Terry.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Danny.
No.
Okay. I think that we could be really good friends.
No,
because,
I doubt it.
No, because you've got that dance move that you do when... Look, the one that I'm doing right now.
I hate dancing.
But you do it when you score goals. You love scoring goals, right?
No.
This is... Okay, why are you contradicting your real-life stuff, Daniel?
Because you're a strange man. You just walked into my office. I don't know who you are or why you're here.
Look, just because I've got patches in my beard, Daniel, okay, that's not a reason... to judge me right now, okay? All I want is a selfie with you to prove Ollie Bettesworth wrong.
Ollie Bettesworth, I like him.
No, look, you might like him because of the nihilism, but
actually,
you'll find that there's just no jokes.
Have you gone to his website? It's very good.
Yeah, I've been on his website. I mean, I've actually been on his podcast, Daniel. So if you like his podcast, then actually I'm kind of a big deal.
I didn't listen to that one.
Well, then that makes you not as fan of Ollie Bettesworth as I am.
I listened to the intro, but when it got to your bit, it turned me off.
I've got Ollie Bettesworth's number on my phone right now.
Oh, my God!
So if we took a selfie, I could text it to him right now. So how about we do that?
I just want to talk to him, please. Let me talk to him. He's my hero.
I will let you talk to him if you let me take a selfie and then text it to him, and then you can talk to him, I promise.
Okay.
Boom! Nailed it, mate. Absolutely fucking...
Well done.
Just got through there in the end. And then after that, I'd be like, actually, if you want Ollie's number, we're going to have to go dancing first.
What did you think of my impersonation?
I mean, I've heard Daniel Sturridge talk. And that wasn't spot on.
Well, it's pretty good for someone who's never heard him speak.
True.
I don't even know what he looks like.
He could have sounded like anything. Black guy.
He's a black guy.
Well, that's my black guy voice.
Cool. Is that your...
What's up, homie?
Is that like how Eddie Murphy has a really hilarious white guy voice?
Yes.
You've got a really hilarious
black guy voice. Yeah.
What is the deal with black people?
Yeah.
I'm going to steal your TV.
Tez, don't impersonate my black guy voice and then tell racist jokes like that because... I don't appreciate it on my podcast.
I mean,
podcast.
Considering where we're living and where we're based right now, that was a very interesting joke.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Tez is sorry too.
Well, I was thinking about how on some of the stuff that are out on Facebook, it gets quite a reaction...
Yeah.
And you know, and some of the stuff you contributed to as well. So I just thought maybe we would talk about that whole religion atheism thing. Maybe.
Yeah, because we've had a to and fro a couple of times. I mean, a while ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just like at least two threads of yours that became really contentious quite fast.
Yeah.
I can't really remember what the initial...
And I don't think they were my fault, necessarily. I think what happens is I'll post an opinion on something that I have, on something that I've heard maybe or seen, and then people will start discussing it underneath that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happens is people put views of people they don't like onto me and think, right, then yeah, Tez must also agree with what this person said.
Sure.
And I get dragged into stuff. But I think one of them was about Dawkins... Because Dawkins had tweeted something along... I don't even need to paraphrase. It was, I think what he said was, I often say Islam is the greatest... Even though I haven't read the Quran, I often say that Islam is the greatest evil in the world today.
Yeah.
Which I took exception with.
Yeah.
Because I thought, wow, that's strong.
But why though? You know,
yeah.
It's pretty...
Yeah. Considering all the things that are happening in the world, especially... based where you live, then that was a weird thing for him to say. So I said, so I think what I posted on Facebook was, this is the sort of thing that an EDL member would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is the sort of thing that an EDL member would say. And then after that, it just became a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And I think it got to like 350 comments or something.
Yeah.
And it started getting quite nasty towards the end. I ended up being the thread, which I wish I never know.
It got because physically violent, Tez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually. After that.
We won't go into that. But yeah. No, not very contentious.
Yeah, and I'm not interested in having a theological argument about whether there is a God or not, because I don't think...
We'll solve it.
Yeah, we won't solve it, and I don't think... I think it's a personal thing, if you have faith.
I tell you what, I've changed my mind about Dawkins since he got Twitter. Because I always defended him, and I've never really understood why people kept saying he was arrogant, and he was... And I thought people just don't like him because he's posh. But now he's on Twitter... I just wish he'd never got a Twitter. Look, it just... There's stuffy posts on there. I don't know whether it's just that he has to squeeze it in to a short message so he doesn't have any space for tact or even coherent kind of... But it just puts provocative things up on there just for the sake of it sometimes. It seems like, you know, one thing he put up recently was like, how many Muslims have won the Nobel Peace Prize? It's like... You know, what do you mean by that? What's the next step from there?
How many black people have won the Nobel Peace Prize?
But also, yeah, exactly. That's the kind of first thought that a person consumed by hatred for a people says. Oh, well, you know, exactly. How many black people have, like, you know, invented the cure for a disease? Well, it's like, well, there's other factors involved rather than just black people being rubbish. To be clear, that is not a factor because black people are not rubbish.
I would go so far as to say they're awesome.
Yeah, not all of them.
They are probably, if I had to have a favourite race, they would be my favourite after the 100 metres.
Really? Okay, so why?
I would not expect you to ask me why. I just thought you'd let me say that and get away with it and we'd move on.
No, that's not the sort of show this is.
Great. Okay, look, listen, right. I did not expect to have to defend flippant remarks that I make on a podcast. All right, I did not know that that's the sort of podcast it'd be.
There's no such thing as a flippant
I thought I could just get away with saying stuff that I found amusing, like black people are my favourite race, and not have it challenged, like in the comedy clubs, but that's not what's happening.
But now you found yourself in a situation now where
I'm
going to have to
defend that outlandish statement.
Mm.
You ignore the bit where I said after the 100 metres, which was the actual gag.
I ignored that because I thought it was a
and
bit,
the 100 metres tiny because little actually black people always win it. And that is the reason they're my favourite, because 100 metres be my favourite race.
Because they're fast.
100 metres be my favourite race is always won by black people who are my second favourite race.
Right.
And it's a kind of, I don't know which one came first, chicken or egg.
Are you happy with that justification?
I don't know. I don't know. If I am...
I'll send you the podcast before it goes out. You can tell me if you want to edit
the hip-hop, okay?
Hip-hop.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Who's your favourite hip-hop person?
Eminem.
Right, so... Yeah. That would seem to contradict...
What?
Hmm?
What are we talking about?
We're talking about who's right, Muslims or atheists, weren't we? Let's get back onto that.
I've always, like, looking at the Dawkins thing, I think he's very critical of... He's critical of Islam, which I think is one thing, but he's very critical of Muslims as a people.
I think what it is, right, is...
What is it?
And I fell... I realised this about myself, that I fell foul of this. Same thing. But to a certain type of person, how it seemed... to me and other people, I guess, maybe I don't want to speak for Dawkins, but I imagine there's some kind of dynamic happening like this, whereby when there's a group of people or a religion or anything where not only do certain proponents of that group or that faith claim to be above criticism or react very badly to criticism or even violently to criticism in some instances. And then when, by and large, it seemed as though the left or the sort of liberal intelligentsia had basically kind of bought hook, line and sinker the idea that it is sort of hateful and racist by definition to criticise Islam at all.
Okay.
And it seemed like that was the reaction. The reaction against the EDL, the reaction against the BNP, which there should be a reaction against, obviously, quite rightly, seemed to go, in my eyes, at the time, too far the other way to be like, well, we can't say anything. Either because we're scared of violent reprisal. I mean, they shouldn't have been scared of violent reprisal, but they may have been. Or because, you know, I don't want someone to accuse me of being racist or being a bigot.
Yeah.
Which not every criticism, obviously, of Islam equates to. So I think what happens to a certain type of self-important liberal academic type, such as myself and Dawkins, that's right, I'm putting us in the same category.
Why not?
I know he's a biologist and a preeminent academic, but I feel like my, you know, I just haven't applied my IQ. I think that pretty much matches.
I read the same number of books that you've written as Dawkins has written.
Bingo.
So to me, you're on par.
Exactly. Well, thank you. And your measurement of value is the only one I really, truly care about. So I, me and Dawks, me and the D-Dog, we think, or thought, in my case, that maybe it became...
Dickie Dawks. Go on.
There you go.
Yeah.
That it became more important than ever to be seen criticising Islam. That the way to balance it out somehow, like you got this sense of it being really kind of like strong work somehow for the side of rationale or balance to criticise Islam and to be seen to be not afraid of doing so. Which, if you're not careful, becomes overzealous and then becomes something that's quite easily either misconstrued or quite rightly interpreted as hatred or kind of just relentless hidden agenda criticism where perhaps it's not necessary or warranted. And that's how I feel like, I mean, since those discussions that happened on Facebook that we started this little section talking about have happened, haven't really entered into any debates about it. I don't really post big atheistic things anymore. I feel like people still talk to me like, oh, one of the atheist guys, one of the big cynical atheist
in
guys.
In the clique.
In the clique, in the comedian's clique, in the comedian's world. Sometimes people still say stuff to me that it seems like they're still reacting to me like I'm one of those big Dawkins-loving guys. So the damage to my reputation has been done.
You are wearing a Dawkins t-shirt right now, just to piss
me off. Yeah, but that's more a sexual attraction.
Oh,
you
fine.
Know.
Okay, cool.
You know, you couldn't find his sort of repressed Oxbridge charisma sexually appealing. I just like the feeling that he's close to my nipples at all times. I'm a reformed atheist, I think, is what I would say.
I think the difference between... I mean, there's two types of atheists, aren't there? There's probably more. But let's just say there's two, because there's people who don't believe in a faith, or don't have a faith, or don't believe there's a god or gods. And then there's those who actively dislike the idea of faith, so anti-theists.
Yeah.
And I guess Dawkins falls into the latter category.
Yeah.
I don't know where you are right now. But
well, I was certainly an anti-theist for a time, I think, but I... And to be honest, like, I still have, I feel, plenty of valid criticisms about religious beliefs and religious institutions, but I really don't... And I don't think I ever really, truly did have a problem with individual Muslims, individual Jewish people, individual Christians, because you'd have to be a dick. But, you know, I still, if I was having a discussion, a theological discussion, I would still bring it in terms of the atheist perspective.
Sure.
But I just really have, I have no issue with people individually believing whatever they like. And it doesn't bother me that people could believe something that maybe to me seems a bit silly or a bit kind of like, how do they get to that point or whatever. But I'm sure there's plenty of things that I believe that you know, people have trouble believing. The thing is that the turning point for me was realizing just how fucking ignorant I am about most things.
We all are.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah. But
and I'm sure there's tons of stuff that you know about that I know nothing about, and there'll be stuff that I know about that you know very little about. And there's stuff that I pretend that I know about, like the Middle East history.
Yeah. And that was it. That was I've thought that actually when it came to discussions about religion and specifics, I was aware, even when I was in that anti-theist stage, that they did come to a point where my ignorance of people's faiths became quite clear. And I was suddenly out of my depth in this discussion because I haven't read the Quran. I've studied, I think the last time I studied anything to do with Islam was probably GCSE. So like, yeah. I'm just as guilty as anyone else of knowing a lot about Muslims just by what I hear and what people tell me. Whereas actually, the Muslims I've met have been delightful. Present company excluded.
Of course, I do the best.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe I'm a traitor, but I've chilled.
I think it was interesting that the Dawkins post that I put on Facebook, because before I started comedy, I probably didn't know that many atheists, or at least I didn't know any anti-theists, I don't think, anyway, or not anyone that had made themselves known to me.
Yeah, so it's quite a cool thing for a comedian, isn't it?
So it was interesting when I started comedy how many people confidently and proudly identified themselves as atheist, or more even anti-theist. So I think when that happened initially, I think I did become quite defensive, and maybe I didn't really position myself in
because
a way...
Because that's it. I mean, people who are atheists on the circuit kind of sometimes have a bit of swagger about them, like they're being naughty or they're being edgy.
Mm.
But actually, that's kind of the accepted thing. If you're at
on
a gig,
the circuit, yeah.
If you're at a gig and you're doing atheist stuff, more than likely you're preaching to the converted.
Yeah, which is why a lot of my comedy is centered around stuff that I believe in, or even more, actually, probably more stuff that people think I believe in, or people's perceptions of what I believe in. Mm. Because I think actually no one's talking about that.
No,
because there is no one talking about being Muslim or being.
It's actually quite rare to have a genuinely religious standpoint in stand up.
Mm.
It just doesn't. It's not cool.
Mm.
It's not at all cool. Have you considered that?
And those people are probably earning good money doing proper jobs.
I mean,
the Muslims.
Like, you've got quite a cool image. I do think Islam's dragging you down a little bit in terms of how cool and slick and urbane. Like, people are going to see you in your suit and be like, that guy looks sharp, intelligent, cool, right. Charismatic, and handsome. Let me just say that.
Oh, that's...
A handsome man.
That's out there.
Okay. Don't be afraid because of your Muslim homophobia about that.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Obviously, you're
a homophobe. It's in check.
You're a homophobe,
obviously,
right?
but I think I have good control of it.
Yeah.
Enough to the point where I'm actually quite comfortable hugging gay men now.
Really?
And just pretending.
Big step for you.
I'm pretending that.
You're gritting your teeth.
I'm pretending that I like them and that it's fine.
Mm, but it isn't. It is not.
Obviously, it is okay.
Is it?
Yes.
It's going to try and get you. But no, it wasn't happening.
When I first started talking about these things, so I think I've become just, as I've grown older, I've become more politically aware, and I think I've become more aware of Muslims' position, or my perception of the Muslim position in society. And some of it is very self-inflicted, but I think some of it is not. And I think so. I always wanted. So what I've often found myself doing is when I'm around people who are not Muslim, I will then be very anti what the Western governments have done,
right?
And pro what Muslims are doing. Actually, when I'm around Muslim people, it changes, and I'm very. But Muslims are doing really bad things. I need to sort that out.
So you're just a contrarian, basically.
But actually, look at all the good things Western governments are doing, apart from all the bad things that they've done. But what about the NHS, and what about the fact that we're living here, blah, 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 blah.
Mm. So you're just pissing people off wherever you are.
So what I don't do is preach to the converted.
Right.
So I'll be the type of guy who has a who quite like a column in the Daily Mail or the Sun.
Right.
Because I think what would be the point of having a column in the Guardian?
Mm.
Because I'd just be talking to people who probably agree with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which would be fun, which is nice. I like people agreeing with me. I like thinking that I'm right.
I mean, it's not just religion. I mean, generally, liberal concepts. Whenever I see someone on stage now ripping into the Daily Mail, I just think, we already all hate the Daily Mail, surely. Come on now.
Mm.
And who were you targeting? Maybe the one guy at the back who once read the Daily... Like, you know, if you're in a... It would be different if you're in some sort of town.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd get the sense that there might be a kind of rural Daily Mail kind of conservative population there. But if you're in London, you're in fucking Streatham, and you're doing a club, and you're like, you're David Cameron.
Yeah.
You know... It would actually be a lot gutsier to come on stage and be like pro David Cameron and be like, I think he's a fucking great guy.
Right, you know what? They're doing a lot of good work on tackling human trafficking and modern slavery, this government at the moment.
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, I'm not a fan of them tackling
human
trafficking.
I mean, okay. But they
you
are.
You can't own a person. What really is the free market all about, really?
But they are doing a lot of good work on that. And they legislated for pro-gay marriage, didn't they? They did that. So they
even though it must have really disgusted them to the core.
Yeah. So they have done a lot of... Maybe not a lot, but they've definitely done some... They have definitely done some good things.
You can count on one hand the good things they've done.
Yeah, without doing some internet research.
Yeah.
In which case there'd probably be more.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I just... Yeah, it's that sort of... You should tell... I think people should challenge people more in comedy. Because when I'm doing my Camden show, I mean, I'm assuming that I'm going to get I'll have two types of audience. I'll have the white liberals and I'll have the brown people in.
Are you slipping in a sort of surreptitious plug for your show?
We might be building up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Who may also be liberal or not. And I think I'm doing a real takedown of liberals in my show, of which I classify myself as one.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the hypocritical approach that we have to life, in that we complain about essentially the Tory government and Conservative governments and how they've shat on poor people and stuff. But we do that and we tweet about this stuff whilst we're playing with our fucking iPhones that have been manufactured by a bunch of eye slaves.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Mm. In China. Just doing a bit of material there, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's good that that liberals highlight certain issues and topics, but we just got to remember that actually we do fuck all about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't do it with any sense of self-importance or moral superiority, because we're all dicks.
Yeah, because just couch it with, I know I'm a dick.
We all
but this
live
is dickier.
We all live in the West, and like over there, there's people like literally right now dying because they don't have food. And I'm
for
fuck's sake, they don't have crispy M&Ms and Asda. And that is a genuine... That does piss me off. They have them for £1, and some cunt always gets there before me. I reckon someone... They just get the whole thing.
Crispy M&Ms.
I'm always a fan of the
red ones, the peanut butter M&Ms.
You know who has no idea what kind of the chocolate or nut or crispy M&M variety...
Tell me, Ollie, who?
The people dying in Africa, Tez.
They don't know.
No. And I do. And it means more to me that they don't have those down at Asda than the death of any child in Africa does, ever. But, you know, I'm a pretty liberal guy. The stuff I say on Twitter really matters, because it's really like hitting home how homophobia is bad.
Homophobia is bad. And just hitting people in general is bad. And if you like that sort of view, you probably love me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Which is what?
It's at Tez Ilyes. Just my name, guys. If you know my name, then it's just joined up without any spaces in it.
I think the problem some people have, perhaps, and this maybe I'll put this to you. I think what part of the reason why it's difficult to be religious and a stand-up, in London at least, is that I think the problem that people have as stand-ups is that you're encouraged as a comedian to analyse things and look at them from the outside and to really consider the kind of the truth behind them, get behind the bullshit, etc.
Mm.
And people suppose that if you have that kind of analytical mind that's grounded in a kind of rationale, that you, why is it that you've not applied that rationale to your religious self and gone, okay, well, this probably doesn't, you know, quite ring true with the rest of reality as I know it.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my background. I did a degree in biochemistry at university. I was a scientist growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I studied evolutionary biology, blah 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 blah. And I would still consider science a big part of my life. It's a lie. I just said that to look cool. But I've seen nothing in what I believe in religiously that would contradict science. Not Islam, anyway. I mean, because we don't believe in the same creation story that Christians believe in. So there is that. So I've seen nothing that contradicts it, and I've looked at it, and I've critically looked at it, and I've gone. And there are things. There will be things. And I'm not interested in having a theological discussion,
of course,
but there are things that I'll probably question further and deeper, and mm-hmm. think, oh, okay, that's this is beyond my realm of understanding necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's what faith is, and I guess maybe it's a cop out answer. But when you have faith, when like my belief in God and the Prophet Muhammad is greater.
Mm-hmm.
Than the questions I have.
Than your doubt, yeah.
Over here.
Right.
So
you're kind of compartmentalising your
head a little
bit. I guess so.
And I live my whole life by compartmentalising.
Mm-hmm. So you've got the comedian tears, you've got the religious tears.
I've got the guy who works in the office tears.
Yeah,
I've got
the sex pest tears.
Yeah, the guy who then goes home as a very good Pakistani boy, mm-hmm. and proper mummy's boy in Blackburn tears.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, compartmentalising.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I get through life.
Who's the real Tez?
This guy. Is he? I don't know.
About to have a moment there.
Yeah, I don't really know. I had a real moment yesterday when I was coming back from a gig last night. So I was gigging near Reading, and it was a gig that went very well. And I think I realised as well that because I currently I'm not with anyone. I'm never at my more loneliest. Then after I've had a cracking gig.
Mm-hmm. Groupies.
And I'm then making my way home.
Groupies.
And I've got that adrenaline running through me, and I'm going, right, I'm going home to no one.
I don't know if you're listening to
and nothing.
Groupies. Groupies.
Yeah, it doesn't make me happy though.
Yeah.
But it just struck me how empty I was feeling on my way home after having had what was just an astonishingly nice gig.
Mm.
That should have made me feel really happy. And then I thought, actually, there are definitely some voids in my life that I need to fill to become a more complete person.
You need to fill them with vagina.
Companionship. And which is why I really want a role. I want to become the new Doctor in Doctor Who, because they just give you a companion,
mm-hmm.
don't they? It's like an arranged marriage.
Well, how long does a Doctor have, usually? How long does Peter Capaldi have in the role?
3-4 years, maybe.
We've got that long to become famous.
Famous enough, yeah.
Feminist, yeah.
Feminist. I become that,
mm-hmm.
and then
become a famous feminist.
Yeah,
and then you'll be
have to give it to
a shoo-in.
Won't they? Yeah. Because I'm never going to be the first Asian James Bond. Like, that's not going to be me or any of us.
Not with that attitude.
It's not going to be any of us, is it? But I could become the first Asian doctor until my friend pointed out. There's loads of Asian doctors.
That was material, though, wasn't
that
it?
Was a gag. I've just thrown a gag in there. Sorry,
we'll have to edit it out.
We're not that sort of show, are we?
Yeah. This is the alarm for when that happens.
Sorry, that was a proper genuine funny that I just threw in there. But I would be a dream to become the Doctor.
I'm a big fan of Doctor Who.
Big fan.
Hmm.
Big fan of being famous.
Are Asian people usually fans of Doctor Who?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, we even watched a Doctor Who special on Christmas. Don't tell anyone.
Are you allowed to be a fan of Doctor Who as a Muslim?
You know what? I don't even know what we'd...
Look into it.
Yeah.
I would look into it.
I don't think there's a fatwa against it.
Mm-hmm.
There could be now.
Not yet, though.
Not yet. Now that they realise that...
it's only a matter of time.
Now they realise it's an issue.
Now we've got Sharia law in Britain.
Sharia law.
That's next. Can't celebrate Christmas. I can't remember the last time I celebrated Christmas.
Oh, for the life of me, I can't remember the last time that I was not allowed to.
So you said that, you know, you believe that you have, a rational reason to believe, and you...
I wouldn't even go that far. Like, I wouldn't say my faith is rational. I guess I've rationalised it, but I understand that I cannot prove that there is a God. Like, that is not why I believe. I don't believe because I think, yeah, because I've seen the light, I have seen the truth, I have seen God, or definitive proof that he exists.
Mm-hmm.
The world makes sense to me by believing. So everything that I've seen and studied and read, it just wouldn't make sense to me without a God having watched over it all and manipulated it all and brought it about. It just doesn't make sense to me.
If you had, say a week from now, had a massive epiphany, I don't know what it is, it's just a hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
And you suddenly realised, suddenly to your mind, there was no God.
Okay.
How do you think your life would change?
You know what? I don't think it would change that much.
Okay.
Because aspects of my culture.
Yeah,
I disagree.
But morally, you think you'd.
But I still like my culture, and I think morally, I think I'll still be the same person, and I still think, I think even if I didn't believe in God, and I think if I wasn't a Muslim per se, I think I'll still classify myself as a cultural Muslim.
Sure.
And I still think that Muslims are getting a hard time in the press and in TV and stuff,
especially from the damn Jews in the Middle East, right?
From the damned white guys.
Mm.
So I don't think my life would change that much. I think there's still people in my life who I love dearly, family and friends who still believe, and I think that it would come as a real disappointment and shock to them if I lost my faith.
Right.
That I think I would hide it from them.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't see that happening. But
hypothetically, of course.
But hypothetically, sure. I don't think. I mean, who knows until if that scenario would ever play out, but I don't think my life would change that much.
How do you think you would feel about the world? Would you feel more... I mean, with the absence of God, suddenly you've had God for your whole life.
I'd probably be even more angry at people.
Right.
Yeah. Because I think I wholly believe that the reason the world is the way it is because of people.
Right.
As a believer, I think it's hard to argue against this. There are enough resources on the planet, food, water, fossil fuel or whatever, to go around the entire planet.
Yeah, but I can't get crispy M&Ms in Ursa as it is.
But what I'm saying is that if there was better and more even and more charitable distribution instead of a desire to make the most money, the world would be a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you need necessarily to believe in God to make that happen.
Sure. So, I mean, to be honest, what it seems to me like is that if you didn't believe in God and you lost your faith, not all that much would change, but it would be easier to be a stand-up comedian, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have to worry about all this baggage. So why not do it?
I don't think.
No, I'm trying to help.
I don't think it would be easier to be a stand-up comedian.
Worry about all this thing about how uncool you are because you're a Muslim.
You know, I think being Muslim is quite punk.
Really?
Yeah. Because you think about what punk means. It means anti-establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Going against what the common people stand for.
You're saying that
for.
Suicide bombers are the ultimate punk revolution.
Like the punk, the extremist punks. You know, the ones who, like, their entire tongue is not tongue anymore, it's just a stud.
Yeah, those guys are cool.
Yeah, so that's who the suicide bombers are.
Mm-hmm.
You think, you know what, I see what you've done there. It's impractical, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a statement.
Mm.
Who's benefiting from that? I don't know. Also, looks like you're causing yourself some harm.
Mm-hmm.
Which undoubtedly suicide bombers have done.
Yeah, but you're not saying this to anyone in the suicide bombers case, except a whole splodge of guts and bone.
Yeah.
Wasting your breath.
Yeah,
the horse has bolted.
So there are any girls listening out there who love an anti-establishment kind of guy, then Muslims are your go-to people right now.
But Muslim girls, though, presumably, right?
Muslim girls, they already got, you know, both. If you're a guy and, you know, you're thinking, yeah, I want some anti-establishment action, then, I mean, obviously, ask politely. Don't just assume you can.
Don't just rape you.
Definitely don't do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But ask us nicely and, you know, some of them may think, yeah, okay, I can compartmentalise that, and we might give you a bit of action.
Do you feel any pressure to end up with a Muslim partner?
probably there's probably pressure from family. I'm sure that's what they'd want. But if I was talking about personally, I think I would want, if I did ever have, I think if I would never have kids, and that was never a factor, then no.
But you would.
But I think
ideally,
if,
like,
yeah,
Muslim
I think if,
kids.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would want my kids to grow up in the faith.
Right.
And I think that would be infinitely easier if my partner was also of a faith.
So how would you answer the charge of, like, oh, it's not cool to indoctrinate children into faith?
Oh, we do that all the time with whatever. Like, I believe in Islam as much as I believe in I should teach my kid road safety.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's not indoctrination. Yeah. I think there are definitely better ways of educating children in their faith.
Mm.
But I don't believe that it would. I wouldn't. I mean, if people want to use the word indoctrination, fine. But actually, if that's what you believed in, then you would teach them that. Otherwise, you wouldn't teach them anything. Mm-hmm. Because whatever you teach them is some form of indoctrination. You're indoctrinating them into your values and your belief system and the values of the country that you live in and the laws of that land. And obviously that, of course you are, because that's...
Because there are beliefs that are fundamental to me. I mean...
And there's probably beliefs that are fundamental to humanity, such as don't kill people.
Like, hero post time, I would probably not keep my kid open-minded about whether or not racism is bad.
There you go.
Like, my belief is fundamental that racism is bad, because I'm such a great guy.
Such an indoctrinator.
And
let them make their own choice, okay? If they want to hate 100 metres races, then they should be
allowed
to.
I would be saying, there it is again. What about faith schools?
I don't think I've completely made up my... I feel like I'm question time now. This is good practice.
Yeah. Good practice for when you're on question time.
Assuming that I will run question time
when
eventually.
When you run for mayor in...
Yeah. Tower Hamlets. Mm. I think in the society that we live in, this one, I think it's important that kids are taught how to function with people who are not from their own culture and society. That's whether you're Muslim or atheist or white or black or anything else that is out there. So I think
you covered the main ones.
Yeah, the important ones. Mm. So I think I'm not anti-faith school per se, but I think faith schools should try very hard to ensure that the kids that are coming through their system are well-functioning kids who can function in all aspects of society.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Which is a shame, because that's a bit banal, isn't it?
Mm.
For us just to... No!
Infidels are shit.
I think that there should be... basically apartheid.
Right, okay. On the one hand, you have...
Just seal off tooting.
Okay.
For one. Got a lot
of... Where are you going to get your food from?
Asda. I mean, crispy M&Ms excluded. They're usually pretty good.
Okay.
Seal off tooting. Southall.
Southall. Yeah, a lot of Indians in Southall. I actually agree with you on that.
Mm. No, Peckham.
No sarcasm.
I mean, we could probably just get rid of Peckham.
Yeah, we could probably take... You know what? Take Peckham to Devon.
That'd just drop it in. Helicopter
that'd be
it
a
in.
Good TV, that'd be a good TV show.
Yeah.
Channel 4, are you listening?
Mm-hmm. Copyright, Tazilias.
Get rid of Dagenham.
Mm-hmm. Dagenham, for sure.
That's gone. Just island it off into the...
Just push it off. You know, like Eskimos, when they into get the rid of old people.
Yeah. Just push it off into the channel.
Into the channel, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm making progress here. I'm going to get the whiteboard marker out and can really get to grips with
diagrams.
So we've come to the end. How do you feel?
Good. I thought that was... I was challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed it. I think there were a lot of topics there that I haven't really spoken about in great depth.
And it showed. I mean, I no,
zing,
boom. The one thing I'm concerned about is I feel like I've got atheist buddies who would be disappointed that I didn't rip into you mercilessly.
Why?
Well, you know, they want a fight, don't they? And I've been I've been quite accepting and sort of quite sort of liberal about it, by and large, compared to how I used to be, at least. Mm. And I feel like they probably think I'm some sort of traitor to the cause.
Some packy shagger.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be one of those. I mean, ideally, they would have wanted me to really, just really, denounce Allah. You know.
Well, that would have been a different interview.
That would have been. People would have listened.
Yeah.
If they'd be like, you know, Tez Ilyas, he renounced Islam on Ollie's podcast.
And then did a suicide thing in Ollie's flat.
Yeah, just jumped out the window. It was incredible.
And dragged him with him.
Yeah.
It was just. So now there's two less comics on the circuit. Everyone would be probably pleased. That would be a better outcome for all of those guys, because obviously that would leave two gaping holes in the circuit for them to fill.
Gaping. Two of the heavyweights. Gone.
Yeah, in the amateur circuit at least, anyway.
The two main heavyweights, I think.
Honestly, that would be like Andy Murray and Djokovic out the game,
people,
you know?
People say, definitely say that. They go, yeah. Tez Ilyas and Ollie Bettesworth. They're like the guys.
The Stephen Hendrys of...
I just wish I could 90s. Be anywhere near as good as that, but I just can't. I just cannot.
So actually, the quality of the circuit would suffer. There'd be a blip.
Mm.
For 5 years,
I think it would probably end.
Yeah, it's probably fair to say.
I think people would go, "Oh, is there any point anymore?"
I mean, I've got a gig tonight at the Comedy Store #humblebrag, but I imagine that would be cancelled.
Mm.
I mean, it's an open spot, but I imagine they wouldn't be able to carry on.
No,
because that is what people are paying to see, is the 10-minute open spot.
Are you going to wear your Superman shirt on stage?
Probably wear a suit, which is a turn up, isn't it? That's different.
You're trying to get on Live at the Apollo?
Not right now, but no, let's be honest, yes.
Okay.
More honesty.
Well, let's end on that. If anyone would like to book Tez Ilyas for Live at the Apollo, please email ollythecomedian@gmail.com and I'll handle the offer.
Great, thank you very much. And if there are any people listening out there who think you should have given me a harder time, then they can get in touch with me and give me a hard time themselves.
Yeah, okay.
And I will fucking twat them.
At Tez Ilyas.
On Twitter.
No, there's no dot on Twitter, is there?
No, just at Tez Ilyas. Or on my Facebook, because probably the majority of people who will be listening are probably our friends.
Mm-hmm. No. This is a huge international audience.
And, I mean, if Dawkins is listening, you need to renounce your anti-theism.
Yeah, just get off Twitter, mate.
And just become... Just find faith, okay? Because some people say that, religious, that all anti-theists do is write books. That's the most they've done. But didn't they all start off as books?
Boom.
Mate.
That was where you would drop the mic and walk off the stage.
Yeah, so hashtag that.
I'll add in a dropping mic sound effect at that point.
Good.
And if you could just say peace.
Peace.
Good.
In the Middle East.
No, more like... Doof. Peace!
Peace.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro.
Okay.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to episode 7 of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program with Tez Ilyas. I've got to hurry up, otherwise we're going to go over the hour, but it just leaves me to say that, as always, if you wish to register your enjoyment, please do visit our iTunes page and leave us a review or rating on there, or even just tell a friend that they should check it out. But for now, I'll see you next week. Goodbye!
You despise Shia Muslims?
No, I don't despise... yes. No, I don't... I don't despise anyone, Ollie. That's a lie. I do despise some people, but not groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
I despise certain individuals across...
Okay, all right.
Like, in a cross-section of society.
Sure.
But I don't despise any groups of individuals. Okay, certainly not, that. Ollie. That is terrible. I despise comedians, Ollie.
Which ones in particular?
Those guys, so I don't like them.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
What has ever done to you?
Just being white.